Just to warn you, Kim, don't watch that clock. It's only 3 minutes past nine. When Jesus became my Savior and Lord, and I was 15, I read my first Christian book, and it was about prayer. And in it, there was a definition of prayer. I remember nothing else about the book except the definition of prayer, which I'm going to ask Simon to please put up for me. This is what Rosalind Rinker said, that prayer is the expression of the human heart in conversation with God. And that same year, if you can just leave it up, thanks Simon. In that same year, I read a tiny little book. It was about half the size of this, about 10 pages, and it was How to Have a Quiet Time. Treasured that book, and it shaped my prayer life just like Rosalind Rinker's definition of prayer did. I just want to say, just a sort of little thing here, take note of what God shapes your life with, because those are the things that form the part of your spiritual life that's so important to Him. And your prayer life is a part of that. So what shapes it, how God shapes it is so important. And it'll be different probably for each of us. I found that regularity of prayer time is vital. But I also found that sometimes as you go through the different seasons of life, and as Gerald says, I'm now the senior of the two of us, seasons of life change. And sometimes that prayer time changes too. So like when you get married, things change. When you have children, things change. Tell me about it. I've got four. And in especially in that time, Rob often used to have to make the time gap for me to pray. Because as you know, they wake up so early. They wake up all night. And sometimes you have to adjust things. And sometimes you need your spouse to help you have your prayer time. I certainly did. But still today, I found early mornings the very best time to pray. Because I like to talk to God about the day. I don't know about you. I also like to talk to Him at night about the day. That's just been. And I just want to say up front that prayer time for me is both a discipline and an all-day, anytime thing. It's as vital to our spiritual life, to my spiritual life, as air is to breathing. Air is to our life, to our living. And that's why prayer times are important. And that's why it's often difficult to pray, because it's the area that gets targeted the most, I think. I'm sure you find that. And I've certainly not arrived, and I've still got so much to learn. I just want to also say up front that prayer journaling has never worked for me. I tried it. I tried it when I first became a Christian. I had a little book. I only ever wrote about 5 lines in it, and it soon faded away because it just didn't work for me. And so don't feel, condemned if you don't have a prayer journal. But if it does work for you, like it works for Rob, it's wonderful. And maybe it's because by nature I'm not a very reflective person, so maybe that's why it didn't work for me. I've tried umpteen prayer lists. They don't work for me either. Might help you to know that. Doesn't. But I know they really work for other people. So if they work for you, great. So how do I pray? These days, now, Rob and I normally pray together in the mornings. We find it helps us both. And we're very blessed to be able to open our hearts to God in prayer in each other's company. We're very comfortable with that. And so it does work for us. And as I said, when I fall asleep at night, then I talk to the Lord privately. Rob is already fast asleep. And then during the day, as situations arise or issues arise, I pray about them. Sometimes I'm in the shop. And I just notice somebody. Take note of whom God lets you notice. Because those are the people that God often wants you to pray for right then and there. And so I do. Or it might be somebody who's just on the side of the road. Or it might be when I'm watching TV. The other day, I was this year or last year when the French Open was on. I mean, I often watch tennis. I love watching tennis on TV. And I was watching the tennis. And all of a sudden, God took my attention away from the tennis players onto the crowd. And I thought, wow. And I suddenly thought, I wonder if there's somebody in that crowd and nobody in their entire lives has ever prayed for them. And so I prayed. I didn't know who it was for, but I just prayed for them. Because that was what God led me to do. So when God does these things, and they come out of the blue, even you're not probably expecting them, that's when I pray during the day for those sorts of things. Or it might be something that God suddenly brings to your attention. Like, I'd never really had brought to my attention before, ever, the Christians who are Palestinians. Never ever brought that to really to the forefront of my attention. And I read a book which changed how I think about them. And in that same week, I got an invitation to a talk by a Palestinian Christian. I got an email from Brother Andrew, who wrote the book. I didn't even know if Brother Andrew was still alive. I read his book about God Smuggler years ago. And so there it was. And so guess what appeared again and again and again and again in my prayer time was the plight of the Palestinian church in Gaza, in the West Bank, all of these Christians who have not fled the country because of how difficult it is there to live in either a Muslim area or a predominantly Jewish-controlled area. They're wonderful Christians in the Holy Land who are not Messianic Jews and they're not converted Muslims. So some of them are. So that was a very special thing that God did. I just want to show you how he brings things to our attention and then he wants us to pray for them. And you'll be praying for other things. And so in a morning prayer time, how do I start? I always start by committing myself afresh to the Lord in prayer, conversationally. I'm yours, Lord. Here's my body. Please today, renew my mind through your spirit, through your word. Help me not to be squeezed into the mold of the world. That's Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. I also thank him for things. And confess sin when that's necessary and comes to mind as conviction of the Spirit. I don't leave that until breaking of bread on a Sunday. And often in the late afternoons or in the evenings, Rob and I will take it in turns, one after the other, after the other, after the other, like that, to say thank you to God for things that have happened in that day, fresh. Not just general things, but specific things. Like, thank you, Lord, for the meal that Heather provided for us the other night. Something like that. Or thank you for showing such love to us through that person today. Or whatever it might mean. And we find that thankfulness does amazing things in our lives. It changes our attitude. And it takes our minds off ourselves. And then there are obviously times when I just praise him. And here I find it very helpful to dwell on who he is, his character. Things like how powerful he is. He's all powerful. Things like the fact that he has all authority in heaven and earth. Things like he's ever present. Things like he knows everything. He knows everything about me. He knows the end from the beginning. Things like that I just praise him for. And praise does something. It's very wonderful. Sometimes Rob and I, like we did this morning even, we sing praise songs together. Rob gets the tune right. I don't always, but that doesn't matter. Praise silences the enemy of our souls. Psalm 8, verse 2, and Matthew 21, verse 16, as Jesus interpreted Psalm 8. And I think it helps to pray aloud. I don't know if there are some of you who have never prayed aloud. There was a time in my life where I had never prayed aloud. I think I was in my late 20s. And I had never actually, somebody once challenged me in church, have you ever out aloud said to Jesus, I love you, Jesus? And I never had said it like I thought it, prayed it in my heart. But somehow when you pray it out loud, it makes such a difference. And I remember it was a moment of holy ground when I knelt down next to my bed that night and the sound barrier got broken and I said, I love you, Jesus. It was just so special. And it released things. I could then pray for people when they came to me for prayer. I could then pray for them out loud, right then and there, which is what they wanted. And also, I don't want something like a sound barrier ever to limit me in praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And that can be a problem for people. It's been a problem for people Rob and I have prayed for. They can't pray in tongues because they've never broken the sound barrier ever. And that's important. And sometimes I've found that pouring out my heart to God in tongues is the only way to go. There was once a time when I was living far away from home, and I got a phone call. Those were the days before cell phones. Got a phone call late that night, about 9:30, when everybody was fast asleep, and I was just about to go to bed, that my mother had had a car accident. And I was shocked. I got a physical sensation of shock, and I didn't know what to do. There was no one to contact. I didn't know how she was going to make it, etc. So I just got down on my knees, and I just poured out my heart and tongues for I don't know how long, maybe 20 minutes. And I got up from there with such a peace, I climbed into bed and fell asleep, and my mom was fine. And it was just cool. When it comes to interceding for other people, and often people ask me to pray for them, for this or for that, I usually say, I will as the Lord prompts me. Because sometimes I forget and then I feel really bad. And so I say that because He knows when they need that prayer. And He's well able to prompt me to pray for them. And then there are other people who God lays on my heart to pray for very regularly. And I really like the idea that God can prompt me to pray whenever. And I let Him do that. Give Him every right and access to do that into my life. And then there are prayers that I sing when I'm alone in the car. And the first one that I ever did like this was when I was 21. I remember I was a minister of miscellaneous affairs for a wedding of my friend. And I was rushing all over the show. I wasn't a bridesmaid, but I was behind the scenes doing everything. She had 3 receptions. And that day. And it was hairdressing appointments and all sorts of things. And she didn't have family support. And suddenly God dropped into my heart a verse from that hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. And I sang it. And since that day of when I turned 21, I've been singing this verse. And I realized some years back that it was actually a prayer. And it was a prayer that the peace of God would be expressed through my life. There it is. Drop your still dews of quietness till all my striving cease. Take from my heart the strain and stress and let my ordered life confess the beauty of your peace. It was a song I sang in the middle of Mom's taxi down to Marisburg College, down to Girls High, through the traffic. When I had 101 other things in my mind, I would stop and I would sing that. And God has really answered that prayer. Rob and I sang it in the car together yesterday in the situation. So it was very special and has been very special. Then there are specific things that He has highlighted to me down the years for different seasons and sometimes for daily prayer. For example, so you can understand what I mean, and it will be different things for you, to have the compassion of Christ. I've prayed and prayed and prayed on that one because I really believe it's not my natural gifting mercy. So I've had to pray that into my life because I believe compassion is Christ-like. Then to let my lips minister grace to those that hear. I often tend to be reactive, and I want my lips to rather minister grace to those that hear. It's a prayer I often prayed, especially in a particular season of my life. Then the other prayer that has been very influential in my life has been from Romans chapter 5, again praying a scripture, that I would receive the abundance of grace. And I like to dwell on what that means, that it's undeserved, that it's His favor, it's His divine influence over my thinking, over my decision making, it's His supernatural ability. All these things are in the word grace. And so I receive God's grace consciously almost daily, and also His gift of righteousness, which is the second part of that verse, that I might reign in life through Jesus Christ. It's one scripture that He's very much highlighted to me. And then daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here it helps me to understand a bit more about what that means. The Lord showed me Isaiah chapter 11, that His Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding, of the fear of the Lord, of strength, and of the knowledge of God. So I pray that daily, all those things, because that's what I really want my life to have. Not for me, also for me, but for other people as well. And so for you, he might highlight other things. Take note of what they are, because that's what He wants to do in your life. And then this might interest some of you. It's just something we do as a family. Every year, since our children are older and have their own homes, we have a prayer dinner, annual prayer dinner every year, as best we can, try to. difficult with all the babies sometimes, but we do. And Rob waits on the Lord for a prayer theme for the family, something that as a spiritual head of your home you can do. And then when we meet, we share our needs, we thank God for answers to prayer, etc. Especially from the year, big things that he might have highlighted, like jobs and all sorts of issues like that. And then whenever we're with our adult children on their own, we have quality time with them. We ask them, what can we pray for? And you know what they ask us? What can we pray for? It's very, very special. Very supportive. And then prayer, I would say, for me is more about relating with God and He with me, to transform my life so that I can be like clay in the potter's hands, letting Him shape my attitudes, my desires, and especially my will, and to conform with His, so that His life can be lived through mine. And when I'm praying, I'm often reminded of the verse that without me, you can do nothing. And sometimes in terms of the will, and I want to talk about this. I wasn't sure whether I should talk about this or not, but because the Holy Spirit has highlighted it in the worship and through what Gerald said, I think I must share it. Because these sorts of prayers, where it's God's will and your will, are the difficult times, and the times that are only sorted out between you and God on your knees. This doesn't happen through putting up your hand in a service. It's a battle fought in the prayer closet. And I remember the first time it ever happened to me was when I was 19. And we'd had a university mission by Michael Cassidy at GCT. It was the first one that AE ran. And before the mission happened, we had a mission weekend of training. And we sat under Michael Cassidy's ministry, which was unbelievable. I'd never ever in my life experienced anything like it for a whole weekend. And I came home that night, and I was so full of joy and rejoicing, and about harvest 11 that night, I knelt next to my bed to pray. And like a bolt out of the blue, I said that prayer, just put up that first slide, is the expression of the human heart in conversation with God. It's a conversation. He speaks too. Like a bolt out of the blue. You know what he said to me? He said, Pam, I want you to serve me full time. I got such a fright. I would like to say I was excited. I wasn't. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. Because I didn't know what it meant. He gave no specifics whatsoever. He just said, I want you to serve me full time. And I wrestled with prayer, in prayer with him for I don't know how long. My parents were fast asleep. My friends were all fast asleep. It was me and God alone. And finally, through God's grace, I said, yes, Lord, I will. And I had no idea what it meant. Absolutely no idea what it meant. And it's very real to me even now to think of that, and very important. It was a very important stepping stone and milestone in my life. And a great peace came over me, and I got into bed and I fell asleep. Did he take me into full-time service the next day? No. The next year? No. It was 10 years before I stepped into full-time service, and there were 10 years of the most amazing preparation because he knew I wasn't ready. But the battle to say yes happened 10 years previously when Rob and I stepped into full-time ministry. And the battle didn't happen then like it happened for another couple that he was calling at that point, where she couldn't get to the point to say, yes, I can't do it. And it didn't last long in ministry. But God prepared me long ago for that. And I found that experience of, Lord, you have your way in my life, was so very, very vital and so very important. And I could look back on that in tough times and know, this was God, and He had called me. And it paved the way for later times of alone on my knees with God about decisions that have also shaped my life, which I won't get into. And so it's a case of His will being done in your life so that His life can be lived through you. And that's what I found is the most amazing outcome of prayer. Thank you.
Pam, I need water to my dry mouth when I get nervous. Thanks, Pam. That was great. Just so much of what Pam had to say, like prayer goes through seasons, and we go through seasons in our lives. I remember waking up at 2 in the morning to feed Oliver, and I had committed to praying for a friend. And so it really does go through seasons. And I always get a little bit nervous when I stand here that I come across as And you guys might think of me that I feel like I've got it all together, but I don't. So this, I'm just sharing that this is part of my journey that I'm on. So hold it. There's so much to say about prayer. And I think Jesus' example of how he used to draw away on his own and go and spend time with his Father is such an amazing example for us. So thanks, Pam, for covering so many of the aspects of prayer. But one aspect of prayer that I want to share that works for me and is working well, and it is only one of the ways that I pray, is that I pray with a friend once a week. We started at the beginning of this year, and I've got lots of scriptures that I want to go through, so you can write them down, just bear with me. The first one is from Matthew 18, and it's from verse 19, and he says, it's Jesus speaking, he says, "Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." And so I'm finding that this time praying with a friend of mine is, we jealously guard the time. If we can't make the time that we have set every week, then we make sure we find another time during the week. And some of the amazing things about the time together is that we agree in a large part in our faith of what we agree on, and also in what's in the Word. As Melissa shared earlier, you know, be in the Word and know what it says in the Word, so that when you are praying that you are in line with what he says in his Word. Because we don't want to be praying outside of his Word. And then also understanding the authority that we have in the name of Jesus over sin, over sickness, and over troubles. We're seeing amazing answers to prayer. There are still things that we continue to pray for that we haven't seen come to pass yet, but that's not what we get hung up on. If lack of breakthrough is the focus, then hopelessness and discouragement will prevail. And so that's not a victorious life. So we focus very much on the answer prayer that we are receiving, and we continue to pray for the things that we haven't yet seen come to pass. Okay. How we pray, and this is not a formula, but I came across a man by the name of Steve Backlund, and he's written much about fasting negativity and feasting on positivity. And I came across this table of his on a website. Simon, I don't know if you've got it on slides. But before you start reading that, I just want to read you the paragraph that he wrote before this. And it's called Poverty Mindset versus Kingdom Mindset Prayer. The renewed mind, which is what Pam spoke about from Romans 12 verse 2, is at the core of a transformed life. And transformed people transform cities and nations. The renewed mind focuses on the will of God, which is on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, we get that from Matthew 6. And a belief that everything was settled and paid for at the cross. God is looking for a people who will discover what was bought in that transaction and move according to the reality of his world and release that dominion. Prayer looks much different when you have changed how you think, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it is in stock, and it is within reach. And that's in Luke 17:21 and Mark 1:15. Both of those verses say that the kingdom of heaven is in us, which I was so encouraged that was our opening song this morning. Oh, heaven is in my heart. And that heaven is at hand. Okay, so I'll go into some of them and give you scriptures for them, and others I'm just going to breeze over. Okay, and it's basically almost every line could have a sermon of its own. But poverty mindset praying would be that we come to the Lord with a begging attitude. And I'm not saying, Bob's, I mean, you shared earlier about asking him for a word and a sign, and that's awesome because he wants us to do that. But begging from a point of view of the stuff that he's already done on the cross for us. There's no point in begging for something that's already been paid for. And so what is a much more powerful prayer is declaring the truth, declaring what he has done on the cross, declaring the truth in my life. And Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power to speak life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so I just find it's an extremely powerful way to pray when we can declare God's goodness and truth over our lives, over our families, over our children, and as he says earlier, over our city and over our nation as well. A poverty mindset would pray hard and be burdened, whereas a kingdom mindset would be praying, believing. And then further down it says, belief during prayer and then belief after prayer and ongoing belief. Matthew 21:22 says, Jesus speaking again, he says, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believe and you will receive. And I've often been in prayer times where the prayer, the actual prayer is, Lord, we're believing you for this and believing you for that. And the moment we say amen, we go back into going, oh, but woe, woe is this and this is the situation. So a kingdom mindset is believing while you're praying, but then continuing to believe and confess with your mouth what you're believing for. Poverty mindset of praying, you need to be labored and pray long and hard. Kingdom mindset of praying, you just need fewer words, declaration words. Okay, skipping over the next one. Reactive poverty is a poverty mindset, prayer and being proactive. Let me just find the ones that I've highlighted here. A poverty mindset of way of praying would be to talk about the problem, whereas a kingdom mindset of praying is to actually talk to the problem. And in Mark 11:23, it speaks about speaking to the mountain. Let me just go there quickly. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Okay, so it's about understanding that we have authority because we have Jesus in us. Therefore, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. So we have the authority to speak to our problems and to tell them to line up with the Word of God in our lives. Oftentimes, poverty mindset praying is believing that we need to stop the devil and his curses. Kingdom mindset praying is actually releasing God and releasing his blessing. Sorry. I read a book once called Grace Outpouring by a man named Roy Godwin, and he has started a retreat in Wales, and people who go there just encounter the Lord's presence, and one of the most powerful things that they do is they just speak blessing over the people that come. So they don't counsel, they don't focus on the negative, they speak blessing, and I find that is such an amazing powerful thing to do as well. Like Pam was sharing, if the Lord prompts you to pray for somebody and you don't necessarily know what to pray, it's speaking blessing over their life, over their marriage, over their family, over their health, over their finances, just whatever the Lord prompts you to pray. That's a very powerful way of praying. Poverty mindset praying focus mainly on the problem. And kingdom mindset praying focus mainly on testimonies and promises. And that's from Revelation 12:11, where it's speaking about them overcoming the devil with the power of the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And I just feel that when we give testimony of the goodness of what God is doing, that it's so powerful. And oftentimes we are giving testimony to the negative stuff in our life, and that's giving testimony to what Satan is doing in our life as opposed to what God is doing. And so we need to focus on the positive testimonies of what God is doing. And I'm not saying be false about the hardships that you're going through or lie about them, but if we look at scripture, we can say, this is what I'm going through, but this is what the word of the Lord says. Okay, which is more powerful. As opposed to saying it the other way around, this is what the Lord says, but this is what I'm going through. You understand what I'm saying? That the more powerful thing is what the Lord's word says. Okay, then poverty mindset praying, mostly asking, and kingdom mindset praying, mostly thanking. And Pam, you shared on this as well about thanksgiving. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then Psalms 100, if you have opportunity, you must read it in the Message version, because it's lovely. It says here, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Okay, so coming to him with a thankful heart. Okay, poverty mindset, pray is, we feel that God is reluctant or hindered, whereas kingdom mindset praying is that God is good and he's already won the victory. Okay, skipping down a few. Laughing is rare, and to whereas laughing is frequent. I think it's on to the next slide, Simon. Yeah, right down here. Laughing just changes the atmosphere. And I know when I've prayed with a friend of mine and we've come in maybe feeling heavy and burdened and something's come in and lightened the situation and we've had a good laugh and it's really just helped us to then come in with thanksgiving and with joy. And it's been amazing. And the Lord wants us to laugh in his presence, you know. Okay, then the next one is that in a poverty mindset, expecting spiritual attacks when we're stepping out and thinking that they're a positive sign. But kingdom mindset prayer is that we should be expecting God's protection and blessing after prayer. And Psalm 91, I encourage you to just go and have a look at it because it's the whole thing. And we don't need to partner with spiritual attacks. We need to release God and release his blessing and his protection over us. The next one, poverty mindset, approaching him as a beggar or as a sinner. And a kingdom mindset is that we actually approach him as sons and daughters and that we belong in his presence. And so Romans 8, verses 16 and 17 is beautiful. I love it. It says here, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And I think that that's just so amazing that we get to come to him as sons and daughters. Ephesians 4 verse 24 speaks about us putting on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you, sorry, I've just cut into the middle of the sentence there. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And then Ephesians 3 verse 12 says, in whom, he's speaking about Jesus here, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence to the Father. And so we get to come to the Father through Jesus because we're sons and daughters. He doesn't expect us to approach him as beggars, begging him for what he's already paid for on the cross for us, okay? And, I mean, I just think of Annie who comes to our bed in the morning and how she hops in and she just squeezes in between me and Doug. She doesn't stand at the foot of the bed and beg to come in. She comes in knowing that she's our daughter and that she's welcome and she's accepted. Poverty mindset prayers is that miracles may every now and again happen, but kingdom mindset prayers is that miracles are the norm, that we expect them daily. And then a poverty mindset way of thinking is that we give our lives to the Lord and we get to endure the rest of our life until one day we get to heaven. But a kingdom mindset is that we, in partnering with Jesus, are here to actually usher heaven onto earth because that's the will of the Father. And then I think the last one is that a poverty mindset is satisfied with the religious knowledge of who God is, but a kingdom mindset is a longing for and a pursuing of encounters with God, with his face, with his arms, and with his will. And I just feel very strongly that, and let me just go back to what he said again, that a renewed mind is at the core of a transformed life, and transformed people transform cities and nations. You know, we get to transform ourselves and our homes. And it's just, we are designed and we're destined to partner with Jesus in this and to usher heaven into earth. So it's just one aspect that I find extremely powerful is to pray in agreement with somebody and in agreement with the Word of God and to declare and to understand who we are, who we're created to be. But, yeah, like I said, there's obviously many other aspects of our prayer life. So I hope you're encouraged by that.